punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good day, all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jill Metter.
Happy Friday!
the high plains of the Texas Panhandle's wet.
That's a first in a while.
Yeah, that's there was a storm. I noticed it about midnight. Started out or was going across there last night. And it just creeped across, and it got to Grimes, Oklahoma, about 5 miles west of Four Corners, and stopped.
So, really?
Yeah, just stopped. Anyway, and you can tell where the front is right now, according to the Mesonet. You see that on your map?
I do, that little green.
Yeah, it's 69 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 66 at Eric, 73 here at Elk City. 76 at Butler, 75 at the May Ranch, 68 at Beaver, and out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have 65 at Goodlett, 65 at Wellington, 66 at Miami, 66 at Canadian. They must have got some more rain at Wellington last night, because for the month now, they've got a little over 6 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're doing pretty good. I still haven't had any confirmation from anybody down there in the famous Greer County about this 8 inches of rain at Reed. They were talking about it at Southbound. Said Stacy Fite went down there to check it out, but I can't get a hold of him to find out. But anyway, if somebody can verify if they did get a huge rain, if it wasn't 8 inches, what was it at Reed yesterday? See if all these radars and weather people were lying. Anyway, text it in, 580-225-9697. We're going to start the show out a little different today. We're going to start it out with Jill, because that's the first thing that came out of her mouth when she walked in here. Did you hear about the WOTUS deal? So, yes, I did.
I heard it before I was even out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
Check my email.
Let me find it up here real quick. There we go. I got the same article as you do. Anyway. Yeah. If you guys haven't heard, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the EPA. And, Ms. Jill, what do you know about it?
So, on Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court put another dent in the regulatory reach of the Environmental Protection Agency, ruling in favor of an Idaho couple in their long-running bid to build a home on property that the EPA had deemed a protected wetland under a landmark federal anti-pollution law. The justices, in a 9-0 decision, overturned a lower court's ruling against the couple, Chantel and Mike Sackett, that had upheld the EPA's determination that the property near a lake contained wetlands protected by the Clean Water Act of 1972. Though the justices unanimously agreed to reverse the lower court's decision, they differed in their reasoning for doing so. The ruling marked the latest instance of the court backing a challenge to the scope of the EPA's ability to regulate in the environmental area under existing law. In a 6-3 ruling last June, powered by its conservative justices, the court imposed limits on the EPA's authority to issue sweeping regulations involving greenhouse gas emissions from existing coal and gas-fired power plants under a different environmental law, the Clean Air Act. The case decided on Thursday stemmed from the Stackett's purchase in 2004 of an undeveloped plot of land about 300 feet from Priest Lake, one of the largest lakes in Idaho, near the U.S.-Canada border. In 2007, the couple began preparing construction of a home on it, but after placing sand and gravel fill on the lot, the EPA issued an administrative compliance order stating the property contained wetlands protected by the Clean Water Act and that they needed a permit to build, which they had failed to obtain. That law bars discharging pollutants, including rocks and sand, into the waters of the United States, or WOTUS, which regulators for decades have said covers not just navigable waters, but adjacent wetlands like swamps, marshes, and berms. Courts and regulators have been grappling for decades over how much of a connection with a waterway a property must have in order to require a permit. The court's Thursday ruling came from President Joe Biden's administration in December, finalized a rule expanding the definition of waterways that are protected under the Clean Water Act in a reversal from former President Donald Trump's eras. Biden in April vetoed a congressional measure that sought to overturn the rule.
I'm happier today than I was yesterday.
I am too.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, oh, this is a good day. This is a good start to my Friday.
So basically, since it wasn't clarified, you know, they could have been a mud hole in your driveway.
Right.
And they could regulate it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is awesome. It's going better in our favor. Now the president has to back up, him and the EPA guys back up and redo what they did last winter.
Yep.
And so it's good.
For it.
I'm happy. And it must have been pretty clear cut, 9-0 on the Supreme Court.
Well, I think that tells us that those justices, like, they're respecting people's private property.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
If you want to sum it up, that's what I would say.
Well, they need to. I mean, it's our property. Yeah, we don't want to. They don't want people. If you're a good steward of your land, you're not out there draining oil in your car onto the ground and
right.
all this stuff like that. But this is very good news for us. We've been worried about it. President Obama back in 2014 redid the waters of the USA, and then President Trump redid it, and then President Biden redid it.
It's been redone like 15 yeah. times in the last 10
so
years.
The Supreme Court's actually get you, you know, Supreme Court's kind of on the landowner side on this one.
Yeah.
EPA, a little overreaching little company, EPA. You. So anyway, that's great news. We're really excited. Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour, and Nathan and his wife out there have done really a lot to help all the school people and activities going around Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. And so we'll have more on them. And instead of starting out the old boring what happened in the ag world last night, we're going to take an early break and come back, and then I'll get started on it. How about that? The FYI, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, for your information only, or for your information, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be happening Monday because of the Memorial Day holiday.
Oh, it's already Memorial Day?
Yeah, it is. So,
wow.
Anyway, you don't even have to worry about coming in here Monday. It's the one day a year I get off.
The one year.
So, anyway,
one day a year, wow.
Anyway, they will be closed. They are having the one at Elk City today. And you know what? During the break, I'm going to see if Hollis is having theirs tomorrow. I bet not. Not being a holiday weekend. So, I'll find that out for you, and we'll come back right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Once again, a good afternoon to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 22nd. 788 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 361 brought 295. 13 at 503 brought 276.50. 3 at 685 brought 212. 4 at 759 brought 210. 27 at 937 brought 188. 9 at 965 brought 192. 24 at 1021 brought 177. 4 head of heifers at 329 brought 257. 13 at 428 brought 240. 8 at 544 brought 221. 10 at 569 brought 224. 33 at 743 brought 190.50. 7 at 809 brought 186. 2 at 838 brought 181. Butcher cows were 10 to 110.50. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 140. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's a 580-497-6095. And before I go, I'll let you know that Jimmy Clark can build a snowman out of rain, drown a fish, and tie his shoes with his feet. Yay!
Spring cleaning inventory reduction sale going on all month long at Galleria Furniture, Mattress, and Appliance Outlet of Elk City. Out with the old and in with the new. Huge savings as we go to market this month to find Western Oklahoma all the latest and best price furniture. Select sectionals, half price. Select sofas, half price. Select dining sets, half price. These won't last long here at Galleria Furniture Mattress and Appliance Outlet of Elk City, where friends don't let friends pay retail.
When celebrating with family and friends, consider these tips. Abstain. Use non-alcoholic drink spacers. And if your celebration includes alcoholic consumption, do not drive. Make sure to understand the risk of drunk driving and how to help yourself, family, and friends. If you or a family member find it hard to celebrate without the use of alcohol, please call or text 988, Oklahoma's Mental Health Lifeline. This program is funded by Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Prevention Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention, and Southwestern Oklahoma Development Authority.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products. And they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field. Or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. All hour, and we have currently in Dozer, Texas. Humidity is 90, dew point 63, temperature 66, and peak wind gust today was 26 miles an hour. But currently, southeast wind out of 14 miles an hour, 17 mile an hour gust. And month to date precipitation is at 4.81 inches. So they almost got 5 inches of rain this month already. 8-inch soil temperature is 70 degrees in Dozer, Texas. What about my friends out there at Wheeler General Store?
They're pretty great friends.
Yep.
The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all of your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all of the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. They are located at 15868 Highway 52, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, and they look forward to serving you.
Cool. They do. Good people out there.
It's a really cool store.
All right. Overnight in the ag world, right here in the middle of the United States, from the high plains to the low plains, in the southern plains, wheat futures jumped overnight as traders focused on dry weather in the hard red winter crop in the southern plains. About 81% of Kansas, the biggest producer of winter wheat in the United States, was experiencing drought conditions this week. Little change from the previous week, but up from 75% 3 months ago. About 60% of Oklahoma was seeing drought this week, up from 56% a week earlier, Drought conditions have persisted despite recent rainfalls in much of the southern plains, where hard red winter varieties are grown. As much as six times the normal amount of precipitation has fallen in the past 2 weeks, according to the National Weather Data. While the rain may help some fields, others are too far gone due to extremely dry conditions for most of the growing season. Participants on the Wheat Quality Council annual Kansas wheat turn projected output in Kansas at 178 million bushels, well below the prior five-year average at 303 million bushels. What's that figure up to, about 100-something million less? A lot, about a third less. Yields in Kansas looks to be around 30 bushels an acre. Soybeans and corn were higher overnight on concerns of about a lack of precipitation in the regions of the Corn Belt. Dry weather in parts of the Midwest and the Delta through early next week likely will allow crops stress to build, according to forecaster Maxar, and said in their report. Wheat for July delivery added 8.25 cents to $6.125 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures jumped 13 cents to $8.31 a bushel. Corn futures rose 4.25 to $5.95 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery was up 13.25 to $13.36.25 a bushel. Soy meal jumped 2.50 to $3.99 a short ton, while soybean oil up 8 to $49.32. Flood watches have given way to warnings overnight as thunderstorms produce extremely heavy rainfall in parts of northwestern Kansas, according to the National Weather Service. Creeks, rivers, streams likely will flood low-lying areas. Boy, that's these new... What?
I'm just reading it with you.
Oh, yeah, I messed that up.
You were like, reeks. I was like, no, it's rivers and creeks.
These new trifocals I got are really playing things with my eyes at this 2 foot distance. Let's start all over. How about you? You're going to read along with me, right?
Sure.
Rivers, creeks, and streams likely will flood low-lying areas, the National Weather Service said in a report. More thunderstorms are possible this afternoon and the evening across western Kansas. The strongest storms will be capable of producing large hail and damaging wind. They can have that. Yeah. Flash flood warnings are in effect for parts of the Texas Panhandle and counties in eastern New Mexico. Severe thunderstorm watches also have been issued, the agency said. And there you go. I mean, West Texas and New Mexico has been, the last two nights, just been getting it out there with the rain. And anyway, so there we have it. Okay, let's see what the current market is looking like. There it is.
Maybe.
Corn, are you watching me over there?
I'm just coughing you.
No. Corn corn for July, 601, up 11. September, 523, up over 12. Soybeans for July, 1334. August is 1259. And soybean meal for July, 402 even, up a little over 4, almost 5. August is 397.60. Soybean oil for July, 48.63. Hard red winter wheat is down now. It's at July's 8.15, September's 8.11. Oats for July, 3.43. September's 3.46. And way down here in the bottom, cotton is at 80 cents a pound for July and 78 cents a pound for October. All right, cattle, my favorite. Live cattle for June, 167.62. August, 165.07. October, 169.75. Live cattle for December, 173.50. Feeder cattle for August, 234.52. September, 237.82. Lean hogs for June, 76.67, and July, 74.85. August, 74.27. That's enough numbers for now. But I will tell you, West Texas intermediate crude oil is up 69 cents today to 72.52, and natural gas is down to, for June, at 223. S&P, NASDAQ, the Dow, everything's in the green. If anybody cares, the Japanese yen is down 0.0031000.
Quite the number.
So you're looking at it. How much is that? How much is that? How much is it down?
Money-wise?
Yeah. How much is that?
It's like 0.003.
It's point.
.0003. So it's thousandths. 0.003.
Yeah, there you go. It's a Japanese yen.
I'm practicing. I gotta practice.
There we go. So you can follow me over there now? You figured that out?
I figured out where you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I figured out which tabs you float to.
All right. Woodward, yesterday. You got me? Are you there with me?
I don't have that one.
Okay. You're like, good. Anyway, now I can mess something up. You won't laugh at me.
Okay.
Anyway, total receipts yesterday, 1,451 head compared to 1,300 last week and 1,250 the week before. Feeder cattle, that was 100% feeder cattle. Compared to last week, feeder steers mostly steady. Feeder heifers $2 to $4 lower. Steer calves $10 to $15 higher. Heifer calves $3 to $6 higher. Demand was moderate. Quality was average. Let's check some out here. Some 4 to 5 weights that were unweaned was 267. Some 5 weights, 572 average, were unweaned at 247. But they had some 570 weights that were winged, brought 270. So that's 23 cents difference. And then from 6 to 7 weight steers, let's see here, up to 230.50. 7 weights were up to 222.50. 8 weights up to 202. 9 weights up to $1.93 on the steers. On the heifers, here we go. The heifers always interest me. 3 to 4 weights, 278 was the high end. They had some that weighed 392 that was unwinged, 267. Some 4 to 5 weights, 267, or 266 on the 477 weight heifers. 5 weights was bringing anywhere from, looks like, 226 to 251. On the 6 weight heifers, anywhere from $1.99 up to $2.15. And then some 7 weights, 7 to 8 weights was $1.97 to $2.05. And that was a high end. And 8 weight heifers were $1.82. And some 9 weight heifers, $1.70. So there you go. Well, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. And when we come back, Jill and I got a surprise for everybody, but we don't know what it is yet. We're going to think about it while this break's going on. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
Staples has everything your business needs all in one place. Shipping supplies and services so you can fill orders from all over in one stop. Plus, professional print and marketing services at your fingertips. And now during Staples Small Business Deal Days, when rewards members spend $100 or more, they get $20 back in rewards plus another $10 back with the Staples Connect app. And you'll find new deals in store every week on tech, chairs, and shipping supplies. Get everything for your business for less at Staples. Rewards offer ends 5/27. Limit one, redeemable in store only.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Who you got for weather?
I picked, maybe if it'll load, Arnett. Yeah.
Oh, you know where? You know where? Who lives in Arnett? The famous Lori Campbell.
Thank you for sharing, Jimmy. In Arnett, it is 68 degrees. Dew point is 63 degrees. Humidity is 86%. Wind is out of the south-southeast at 8 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:46 p.m. Today, you can expect a 60% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 77 degrees. Tonight, 30% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 59 degrees. Tomorrow, there's a 50% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 75. Tomorrow night, also a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Sunday, 50% chance of thunderstorms. Memorial Day, or Monday, there's a 30% chance of rain showers. Tuesday, 20% chance of thunderstorms. And it's looking to be like upper 70s, almost 80 degrees for the rest of this weekend into Memorial Day. And Arnett, in the last 7 days, has received 1.35 inches of rain. So, yeah. Rain. I don't remember the last time. Like, it's almost June. Like, it'll be, in a week, it will be June.
Real quick.
And I don't remember it being, like, I don't even think we've broken 90 degrees, but maybe like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah,
and
that was last month.
April. Yeah, that was before it started raining.
Yeah, we were talking about it this morning, me and a local farmer rancher of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Lives on the other side of the river from me, on the non-thug side.
Okay.
And they, but anyway, and I'm saying that in humor, don't anybody take that personal, but that, kind of true though. No. So we were talking, you know, this weather here that we're having now is like Iowa river or weather river.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to Iowa.
So Iowa's you know, the Iowa, Illinois, all Indiana, they grow all these 200-400 bushel acre corn, and they get a little sunshine every now and then, but they stay humid and get all this rain and they grow all this. So our corn is doing really good right now for people who've got corn planted out here right now. But our alfalfa needs cut. Mm-hmm. The Milo and some feed are not growing. They need some sunshine and heat.
We need sunshine.
Corn, our cotton needs to be planted. It's wet.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs heat to grow.
Yep.
My okra is not growing because it needs some heat to grow. It's like cotton, so it's anyway, and I bet the water temperature for those folks that will be at the lake this weekend is going to be a little chilly, more chillier than normal.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, I think we're used to, like, 100-degree days by now, like this time of the year.
Yeah.
It's not 100 degrees.
Yeah, because I found out, you know, there's some guys hadn't even cut their alfalfa the first time yet.
Oh, really?
And we're usually doing that in April.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of weird.
But I'm not complaining.
I'm complaining a little bit. I'm a sunshine person, so, I like the sun.
How much rain did you guys get yesterday?
I think we got close to an inch at home, a little over an inch and a half at Hex.
Hex, I got you. But your dad's a little mixed blend crop ought to be getting
it. It's probably sprouting quite a lot.
It's getting it. It's because the ground temperature is still chilly. I mean, it's not cold, but it's cooler than normal. Usually we're in the mid-70s, almost 80 in the ground temperature this time of the year. And right now we're setting at 68 to 70. So it's a little cooler. That's why things aren't just growing. So it is Memorial Day weekend. And you know what? One of my favorite things is to do is promote our local beef producers and our local beef processors.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a cool recipe I seen out. So if you guys are thinking you want to cook a brisket this weekend, I got something for you here. This brisket, Texas is known for its barbecue. You know, that's all the way it is. The state's barbecue tradition spans centuries, melting historic German, Czech, and African-American techniques and customs to create a regional flavor built on cooking beef low and slow over locally gathered wood. See, you got local gathered wood with local beef. There you go. As generations pass down the tradition, methods become more complex, and Texas barbecue became as deeply ingrained into its culture identity as cowboys and blue bonnets. What do you think? That's a true statement, I really
think.
Yes,
it is.
The same history that makes barbecue so alluring, however, can make it a little daunting for the average Joe who didn't grow up smoking brisket. Luckily, Ray Riley, 7981, can give us some pointers from the aspiring pit master just getting started. Riley manages Texas A&M University Meat Science and Technology Center and teaches barbecue courses. I didn't know they had courses for barbecue, so this is really cool. This is a really cool story. For students at every skill level, including Texas A&M's uber popular barbecue summer camp. We always tell our students as long...
What?
That's what it says. As long as you know how to cook, you always have friends, Riley said. First things first, get a good thermometer. You need to accurate measure the temperature of your meat and your pit. With more experience, you'll tell by time and feel. But it's best to play it safe when starting out. Absorb everybody's information. used to it. If you had a question, you had to call up an old friend or relative. Because, I was sitting there thinking I needed to update everybody on that I know so far from late last night. Brian Silt is in ICU. He's recovering. He should be coming home middle next week, and he's going to be, this is a bad thing, poor Sandra, he's going to be down 6 weeks.
Pray for Sandra.
yeah, pray for Sandra. There you go. Anyway, but I'm telling you what, his brisket is some of the best I've ever had.
Now I got to try it.
Yeah, and he's it, and that's what made me think of this story was Brian. And so, if you have a question, always call a friend. And I also, this pit master from Texas, he recommends Aaron Franklin's books on cooking. Aaron Franklin's. Easy. I bet you could Google it and find it. Don't overthink your setup. Something as simple and expensive as a small pit smoker can hold heat just fine. You don't need a pellet grill, whatever, I love my pellet grill, or some big old pit on a truck trailer to make good barbecue. He does not recommend a gas cooker, and I agree with that on him. It just doesn't give you the flavor of wood or charcoal. Get high on the hog, he says. Everyone wants to make brisket, but a good brisket is hard to master. Making pulled pork out of a Boston shoulder is a lot simpler. So try out with the Boston shoulder a couple times before you run a good brisket. So how's that? Because brisket's my favorite. Pulled pork, okay, I'm all about that. Promote beef and meat, just meat, period. But we're doing beef here. Check your grades. A higher USDA grade means higher quality beef. But you don't always have to get USD prime, whatever. But that was just me, sorry. Buy what you can afford. Anyway, so this is what I'm telling you guys out there. If you buy your own beef from a local producer around here, you will get, most of the time, 90% of the time, you'll get prime. And I know some guys. I know some guys. If you want to text in, I'll recommend to you guys. He
we know people.
Yeah. He sponsors the show every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Taylor Ranch Beef, it's good. And there's other people. Tucker, my brain just went dead. Ty Ford. Mm-hmm. We got all kinds of people around. And so, anyway, go low and slow. Some people prefer certain temperatures, but most of the time I recommend cooking at a nice low 250-degree temperature, making sure that you're not in a rush.
Have some patience.
Practice and patience. If you're constantly lifting the lid on your smoker, checking to make sure you're not burning it, you're not cooking.
No.
Set a timer to check it every hour or so. Watch TV, read a book, do some chores. And if anyone asks you when the meat will be done, tell them it'll be done when it's ready. How about that? So there you go.
Yep.
And about the guy that wrote this article, Ray Riley, 7981, has managed the Texas A&M University Meat Science and Technology Center since it opened in 1983. The center has received national recognition for its passionate facility and staff, as well as its Texas Aggie brand beef jerky. Speaking of beef jerky, Tucker Family Beef.
I know, I gotta get some.
Dude, it's so good.
Is it good? Have you tried it?
Yeah, it's so good.
I gotta try it. I saw it on Facebook. I was like,
yeah,
man,
no,
this looks good.
It's really
good. I could devour some of these.
Come into a store near you. If it's everybody, if you do try it and you really like it, and I know you're going to, hammer every store you know. You need to get this in the store because it's local raised beef, and these sticks are made right here in Oklahoma. So we got to get that done. All right, let's take a
Wheeler General Store.
I was going to say Hobart. No, I was going to get ready to say Hobart, but that's the weather forecast.
Yeah,
we'll have the Hobart
next.
We're going to take a Wheeler General Store break, and when we come back, I got your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And then she has something to talk about as a young person in wanting to get started, or do I get started, or am I going to inherit this land, or what I've got going. Talk about young people coming into the ag world. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow, gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind them. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of it.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
I kid you all not, I one time saw Jimmy Clark pull himself up in the bucket he was standing in. Once again, to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land, this is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 19th. I'm Drew Cobb. 391 head were sold, 5 head of steers at 486 brought 255, 2 at 510 brought 238, 5 at 590 brought 234, 2 at 673 brought 204, 10 at 728 brought 214, 6 at 754 brought 200, 3 at 775 brought 184, 6 head of heifers at 395 brought 258, 4 at 519 brought 242, 3 at 565 brought 230, 2 at 593 brought 201, 4 at 615 brought 215, 6 at 617 brought 224, 4 at 776 brought 174. Butcher cows were 46 to 112, butcher bulls brought 104 to 130, bred cows were 1060 to 1500, pairs brought 1300 to 1900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That is 580-497-6095.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. This is Jimmy Clark, and I have Miss Jill Mitter over here as my co-pilot. We're having a... Dude, I'm just glad I didn't ask you that question on air.
It's kind of complicated.
Yeah, it is. It's very complicated. So anyway, Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
I picked the giant town of Erick, America.
Okay, cool.
It is 67 degrees in Erick. Dew point is 62. Humidity is 82%. Wind is out of the south-southeast at 14 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:44. Today, you can expect a high of 78 degrees. It's going to be mostly cloudy. Tonight, there's a 20% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 61 degrees. Tomorrow, 40% chance of thunderstorm. Tomorrow night, also a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Sunday, there's a 60% chance of rain showers. Memorial Day, 30% chance of rain showers. And next Tuesday, 20% chance of rain showers. And it's looking to be, like I said a while ago, in the upper 70s and low 80s for the foreseeable future. So it's looking to be pretty. There's a lot of rain in the forecast, so that's a good.
Well, I'm cutting hay down here in about an hour.
In an hour?
An hour.
An hour.
An hour. Going down.
Is it dry enough?
I don't know. We'll find out. The only way you can find out is pull in there and see how much moisture is on your header as it's flipping around and then your crimper jams up. That's the way you find out if it's too wet. Anyway, man, I got to update you on my dog.
Oh, yeah. A little puppy?
Beth, she is ahead of my expectations. How's that? Anyway, she's eating really good. She slept the last two nights, all night. Her bladder's getting bigger.
And that's good.
Yeah. It's not that she was being weaned at my house or nothing, but, you know, and the bladder's so big, mm-hmm. they need to go. But she was whining loud enough to wake, well, Sandy and elbow me. Your dog's whining. So, I'd get her out, and she'd go out. Go automatically to the restroom. So she's, you know, potty training herself, really. She hasn't done it in her kennel yet, so everything's good.
That's good.
I took her out, her and sister out. Sister, basically, her bodyguard. And with a spotlight last night in the cornfield, the corn that I got growing, the field uh-huh. corn. Anyway, practiced her up on some raccoon hunting. Anyway, she loves it out there. She just...
Oh, that's good.
She minds really good when I say, Beth, come. Unless her nose is into something, she'll come. She's kind of dragging some stuff around in the yard. So we're going through that phase. But I bought her a new rope toy with little tennis balls on the end of it at Atwoods yesterday.
Personality-wise, she sounds pretty playful.
Her personality is very good. She's not a... She grunts a lot. I don't know what's up with that. And I don't know if she's got gas or what. But you pick her up and she'll... So anyway, I can't wait to get her exposed to some birds and some other farm animals. Hopefully it's not the skunks, but anyway, it's going good. So anyway,
I mean, my dogs have been trying to herd cattle since they could practically walk.
Well, see, sister does. Sister's very good at herding cattle. Mm-hmm. I don't need a bird dog herding cattle.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, it's not. It.
That
no,
may not go very well. Honestly, I just know. All three of my dogs, they have different personalities. All three of them.
They're all three cow dogs, right?
Yeah. One of them's stubborn. One of them is spastic. We should have named him Spaz because he's very spastic.
And one of them's spoiled like her master.
That would be the spastic one. Oops. Yeah. And then the other one's timid. She's very shy.
Oh.
So, a little different.
Well, I had news from the... some people that went to the Ag Defense... risk management deal at Thomas last night. So there was a really good turnout. A lot of good information was put out, and the ribeye was excellent.
Yum.
So they got some coming up next week on the 30th. May 30th. Is that the last day? Is there 31 or 30?
31.
I don't even remember. Yeah, okay, next to the last day. Anyway, 30th of May at the Washtenaw County Activity Center in Cordell, the Ag Defense Risk Management will be having a complimentary ribeye steak there at 6:30. And then the next day, 6-1, or is there the next day, at Canadian Tech Center in El Reno at 6:30. And then on, we'll just go with those two to constantly remind everyone, because it'll be the following week before they'll have another at Gary. But anyway, 5:30 date. May 30th at the Washtenaw County Activity Center at 6:30, and then at 6-1, the Canadian Tech Center there in El Reno. The guy texted me this morning, said the information was awesome, good turnout. They had a really good turnout for that. So anyway, it's free ribeye.
I mean, you get a free steak.
Yeah.
So why not go?
I'd load up all my brothers, sisters, cousins, and kinfolk just to go do that deal.
Yeah.
See if they pull that off again. But anyway. Okay. Advice for young farmers trying to find a foothold in agriculture. This is Jill's opinion.
It's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give you some pointers. Jimmy handed me the paper that has pointers on it, and I had to narrow it down because it's like 4 pages long. I was like, Jimmy, I can't read all of this.
Yeah, you can.
It's a lot of reading. It's okay though.
But that deal starts out, although some landowners want their kids to get as much money as possible after their death, most enjoy the peace of mind that someone they know and trust will care for that farm.
That's very true. And so this industry, it has super high barriers to entry. And so the question kind of comes up, can any young person really start farming on their own? And so here are 4 things young farmers should consider as they pursue a future in agriculture.
Cool.
And the first pointer is find yourself a mentor. Excuse me. you're rubbing off on me. I don't like it. So if there's not enough room for you to return full time to your family farm or seek out an established farm operator who isn't lucky enough to have a related successor, get a job working alongside with this mentor and make yourself indispensable to that operator, that family, and the landlords who lease to that operation. This should be approached as a long-term goal taking years of work and not a quick fix where the youngster feels entitled to handouts right away. The second thing is don't be afraid to ask. If there's a family operation with room for you, don't shy away from the difficult conversations with the older generations about what happens when you die. Phrase it like, I'd love an opportunity to buy into this operation and have skin in the game. Let's start thinking about a timeline and payment terms. The next phase is, once I buy into the operations, will I still have the access to farm this family land when you're gone? Should I plan on having to buy out my siblings, uncles, aunts, cousins, whoever else might co-own the land? If that answer is yes, then buying life insurance policies could help the young farmer have cash available to facilitate those purchases when the older generation dies. Maybe compensation from the farm operation could include a bonus to help fund part of the premium on such insurance. The third step or pointer, is be worthy of consideration. Be good to your neighbors and your landlords. Provide them fancy reports about what you planted, where and how the yields were, and consider newsletters updating landlords throughout the year. Don't be shy about asking your landlords for an option to purchase their land following death. Again, not a handout, just a chance to purchase their land that you've helped them care for and earn income from at a fair price without having to compete with the highest bidders. Although some small percentage of landowners want their kids to get as much money as possible by selling their land at an auction after their death, most enjoy the peace of mind knowing someone they know and trust will gratefully appreciate the opportunity to buy and care for that farm. And remember, handshakes don't count. Contracts regarding real property must be in writing, and these options only work if they're recorded in the chain of title. The fourth pointer is make smart investments. Don't build grain bins or shops on land you don't own. If you're going to make that in kind of investment, get a survey and split off that area from the surrounding tillable land. Then make sure your name gets on that land at some point. I've seen terrible messes when siblings or cousins end up owning the land underneath the shiny silver stuff a young farmer has paid to put up. So that is four pointers if you are a young farmer wanting to find a future in agriculture.
So I hate to get personal, so have you ever had this conversation with your mom and dad?
I would a little bit concerning, like, my parents' will, if they do end up dying, like, just actually, right now, like I'll just get personal. If they die tomorrow, there is a will and plan, and I know the gist of it. I know that my grandparents, my mother's parents that have their farm out at Sweetwater, and they run cattle out there.
Yeah.
It would go into everything would go into my grandpa's name, and I believe it is in their will that they would sell everything, and all the money would go to me.
Right.
This is only in effect if I am below the age of 25. Once I reach the age of 25, then everything goes into my name. I can make the decision to do what I want.
Okay. Well, you got personal.
I did. That's the truth.
Well, and I got the same thing for, mm-hmm. my kids, and it's goes on, trinkles on down to my grandkids and stuff like that.
Yep.
But it's used to, a lot of people didn't want to have that conversation.
Yes. Oh, that's for sure. But yeah. It's very important to have, though, especially, my parents, for example, they work so hard to build the farm that we now have, and
right.
it's very successful, and it's constantly evolving, that I'm to the point, and I'm old enough now, that I understand how much hard work they put into it, and I'm kind of at the point, I'm like, well, if I'm 25 and something happens to them, maybe I don't want to sell the farm, but that's because I understand how much work went into it
right.
and how it runs.
Right.
Now, if I was somebody who didn't want to go into agriculture and wanted nothing to do with that, and I was over the age of 25, then it would probably be in my best interest to either sell the farm to somebody who actually cares about it, wants to keep it running, that kind of thing,
yep.
or sell everything and receive my compensation, right. basically.
Yep. So, yeah, it's smart move, because it's getting harder and harder for farms, unless they're, even if they're huge, it's getting hard
for
farms to support more than just the couple that actually is running
yes.
it there. So.
Well, and what you see a lot is that a lot of these older generations, they want the younger generation. They want their younger kids to take it over. But that's not usually the case. There's a very small percentage of young generation from my generation specifically that want to go into agriculture.
Right.
So.
And some kids want to leave and see you later and never come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, so you're coming back though, right?
Probably.
You don't know yet.
I don't know. If it's in the future, I might come back and boss my dad around or something. We'll see. Might go start my own farm. We'll see. It'll work out.
I got to share this text with our listeners today. Jimmy, I would like to thank you for all the information you provide to the farmers and ranchers in the area. I really appreciate your dedication and hard work. Someday I will meet you and visit with you in person. That'd be awesome. And you make a good point. I share information, but I need information. Nobody from Greer County's texted in yet from Reed, Oklahoma. Did anybody get 8 inches of rain down there? Come on, it's not that complicated.
Wow.
The measurement shows it. My radar scope shows it. Everybody's talking about it on Channel 9 and
but
Channel 4.
We need confirmation.
We need confirmation. The county commissioner down there, come on, Mr. Steven. Text me and say the bridges are gone or something. Just let me know it rained down there. Anyway, it's about too late anyway. It's almost showtime. And anyway, that was a great article on, I think it was a good article on the advice for.
Oh, for sure.
For young people. And so, anyway, happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
Go watch some Super Regional softball.
Yes, here in a minute, OU starting up.
Yep.
And just here in a couple minutes, OU, and then OSU starts when tonight?
At 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. And then also, we won't have a show Monday, so take a day off from me.
Memorial Day.
Non-paid. This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jill Metter. God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.
An Army veteran is headed to prison over the Capitol riot. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. She's the latest member of the Oath Keepers sent to prison.
A federal judge has sentenced Jessica Watkins to 8.5 years behind bars after jurors convicted her of obstruction and conspiracy to impede Congress's certification of President Joe Biden's victory. Watkins tearfully apologized for her actions on January 6th before sentencing, describing herself as, quote, just another idiot running around the Capitol. She's the third member of the Oath Keepers, a far-right extremist group, to be sentenced this week. The group's founder, Stuart Rhodes, was given 18 years in prison, the longest sentence so far in the Capitol riot cases.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Four more members of the group are scheduled for sentencing next week.